Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you.
My guest this week is Julie Ragland. Julie is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Navistar, an $11 billion revenue manufacturer of commercial trucks, buses, defense vehicles, and engines. When Julie came to the company, Navistar IT had been underinvested in for many years, and her mandate was to modernize the organization. Much of her work over the past year plus has been highlighting the art of the possible through technology. Prior to joining Navistar, Julie was the Vice President of Technology at Adient. In this interview, Julie discusses how the IT team has evolved its approach and positioned itself to mirror the business organization by embedding its people within the business units. She also discusses her approach to creating new value streams and how IT has grown in strategic importance inside the company. We discuss the on-command intelligent vehicle platform and how Navistar uses insights from the platform to change internal processes. We also discuss trends in telematics and connected vehicles and a variety of other topics.
Julie Ragland, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
Great. So, Julie, you are the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Navistar, and I thought we'd begin with the company itself. For our listeners who may be less familiar with the company, can you just take a couple of minutes and give a brief overview of the business?
So, Navistar, we are the manufacturer of international trucks. International trucks are large semis, severe service construction vehicles. Companies, people might be familiar with brands like Mack Truck or Peterbilt, which would be our competitors. You know, we are in the large truck and transportation industry.
And talk a bit about your purview as Chief Information Officer.
So I came to Navistar a little over a year ago. I came into an organization where we had some years of austerity while the company was going through some financial challenges. And I feel like I came in at really kind of a perfect time where the company was demonstrating their ability to come out of those challenges and demonstrate that they had ability to be profitable. And they were really looking for a way for IT, which had been underinvested in for many years during that period of time, to really see IT come into a much more modern position within the organization. So a lot of my work over the last year or so has trying to help an organization with systems that are in some cases 30 plus years old, really see the art of the possible. This is an old company with a very long history and a lot of people who have been here for many, many years. It's been interesting to watch them understand that new and modern IT systems can completely transform the way they do their business and can really give us a leg up in terms of our operational effectiveness and the way we go to market.
It must have been a great thing to come into an organization with an appetite for the change you described. Nevertheless, it also sounds like quite a cultural change that was necessary in order to take the organization forward. And I wonder if you could reflect a little bit about some of those changes in terms of kind of rebranding, even if it was just internally rebranding the way in which IT thought about itself in addition to how the rest of the organization thought about it.
That's been a really big part of the conversation that I have internally with my team, which is really this sense that was created within the team for many, many years that the cost of IT was something to be contained and minimized. And, you know, every dollar associated with an IT investment was viewed as taking away from the opportunity to invest in something else. And so a lot of what we've been trying to do is really turn that conversation around into, you know, how do IT investments transform the function that we're focusing on? Not only see the IT teams having a sense of confidence around the technologies that they're representing and the way that those can really change our business, but also to see the business partners that we're working with really engaging in conversations about technology and IT that they hadn't engaged in before and getting their time and their attention and using that time to explore, you know, what other companies are doing. We have vendors come in and sort of give us their dog and pony show, and then to go away from that and start to try to internalize what that means. And sort of some of the culmination of that, just even yesterday, I was having a meeting with our chief operations officer, and he really was with his leaders, his engineering leaders, his manufacturing leaders, procurement, really now starting to say, if in order for us to achieve our vision, what must be different about the way we do our work? And recognizing that in order to do that work differently, there's an IT component of making that happen. And so it's been pretty dramatic over the last year or so as we've been really trying to foster these conversations.
And you mentioned that part of the responsibility you and your team have is providing the art of the possible to the rest of the organization. Mm-hmm. And no doubt that also means, mm-hmm. you know, weaving yourself and your team more firmly into the strategic narrative of the different parts of the organization. Can you talk a bit about, you know, right. how you do that and how you bring that to life?
We have a portion of our IT organization where we have deliberately structured and organized ourselves to be a mirror to the business organization. So we have people who are specifically aligned to business leaders. So somebody aligned to our operations, you know, senior vice president, somebody aligned to our sales and after sales. So they are embedded in those with those business leaders in their daily conversations and really trying to make sure that they understand the day-to-day challenges of what the business is trying to achieve, as well as then being able to be a voice at the table for times when we believe we should be taking a look at whether or not IT has an opportunity to solve a problem for them.
And I know from some things I've read about you that you've also worked to develop 7 major value streams, I believe it is. I wonder if you could take a moment and describe some of those and the way in which your team works on optimizing.
One of the early things I tried to do was for us to start to take value streams and use that methodology to represent the different systems that we have in our current state. And use that as an opportunity to help business see that we had historic decision making, which those decisions were made without context for a particular business process. They were made within the context of a function. And so when we see the value stream or we see the business process represented in terms of how it traverses different systems, we can now have a conversation with that particular business area to help them see that their business process is broken. And the one I use frequently as an example is our procure to pay or source to pay value stream, which we've asked our senior procurement vice president to own that value stream, but it is executed, that value stream is executed across several functions, finance, manufacturing. You know, there are a lot of functions in our organization that actually have a part of executing that. And so he now sees that the finance organization made a finance decision about the pay part of procure to pay, whereas he had his predecessors made a different decision around the sourcing or procurement part of procure to pay. And so now we can see that that is broken. And we've used that technique in a variety of different areas of the business to try to help them see beyond the scope of their function into the value stream and how a value stream representation gives us insight into, you know, where the systems might not be working for them.
And is the idea also, Julie, to identify some of these value streams that run across multiple parts of the organization so that they can be some more common methods where appropriate can be applied so that the organization is establishing, you know, greater efficiencies as opposed to having one-off solutions doing the same thing across multiple parts of the organization?
Absolutely. Not only are we taking the value streams and we're trying to, within individual leaders for the value streams, help them see their own individual value stream, but also now starting to weave together how, as we see these value streams in an end-to-end for the entire organization, are they working together? And so yesterday's conversation that I was just telling you about with our operations organization, you know, we were talking about how, you know, how do we make our manufacturing operations world class? And in order to make that operation world class, it implies we do some things differently in the engineering process, or it implies that we have streamlined, you know, direct materials procurement and the supply chain processes into our manufacturing processes. So there definitely are now, as we start to mature these conversations, we start to see the conversation going across value streams, and we start to see the organization understanding their upstream and downstream impacts. So it's been really helpful.
Another interesting area that you've gotten involved in is the, you were the executive leader for On Command Connect, an intelligent vehicle platform. And I wonder if you could take a moment and talk a bit about that.
So our industry, actually, we've had telematics devices in trucks for decades. Way before passenger vehicles started having that kind of capability, we had our customers putting a telematics device on a truck, given the way they were using those trucks, you know, what they needed to collect off of those vehicles in order to run their business. And so our on-command connection solution is, you know, we know that our customers are running a variety of trucks in their fleets. On-command connection allows them to gather that telematics data across a variety of different telematics service providers, across a variety of different makes of vehicles, and see it all on a single pane of glass. And then once they see it all on a single pane of glass, we can then start to help them understand across the entirety of their fleet, the health of their vehicles, and help prompt them with things like preventive maintenance, or, you know, things that they should be doing to make sure that the vehicles are operating in a healthy fashion. But where we are going now is actually, oftentimes these telematics devices historically have been an aftermarket installation. Now what we see that's happening in our industry is, not only is the telematic device being factory fit, but along with it is essentially what would be edge compute power. So we're actually putting compute power into the vehicle along with that telematics capability, so that we can start to do things like reflash the engine, or help the customer around programmable parameters that they might want to delimit speed, for example, if a vehicle's operating in a certain area in the city on highway. So we start to see more and more that an intelligent capability in the vehicle will become a part of what makes that vehicle productive for our customers. We're just at the cusp of that, and you'll see that, you know, more and more as we start to put these devices on the vehicle as they leave the factory, you know, we will be able to change the way our vehicles operate based on the conditions that they're operating in on the fly.
Very interesting. And how is value derived here, or informed? It sounds like there's a safety component, an efficiency component, perhaps even a revenue component to this. Is that are those three apt?
Yes, I think that, you know, we're still learning exactly where the opportunities are. I mean, for our customers, certainly we want to make sure that, yes, definitely there's a safety component. There's an asset tracking component. There's a vehicle performance component. We hope and we envision that potentially there starts to be the ability to help the vehicle become more self-healing, and it doesn't necessarily always require a visit to the shop. You know, so these are values that we're putting in the hands of our customers. And at times we believe those translate into, you know, ways that we price the vehicle, or ways that we price that service in the on-command connection platform. So, you know, some of that we're still learning in terms of what's the market acceptance of that. I think also one of the things that I would say, however, that one of the things that really we need to capture is, you know, how do we use what we're learning off the vehicles to inform our internal processes? So do we change our selling process because we now know that certain vehicles perform better than other vehicle configurations? So can we be more consultative with our customers around the types of vehicles that would be better given their use case? Or can we now also make sure that we have better stocking plans for our parts because we know where the vehicles are and we know what services they might be needing based on the what we're reading off the vehicle. So taking that information and using it internally to transform our internal processes, I think, is just as important, and in some cases, maybe even more important than just really trying to seek a way to find revenue.
Yeah, thank you for that overview. I also wanted to ask you, Julie, as you look to the future, what are some additional trends that particularly excite you and are making their way onto your roadmap?
I've been in the IT profession my whole career, and I remember conversations, you know, 5-10 years ago, whereas IT professionals, we looked at the business, we hoped that we could be at the table. We talked about CIOs trying to get a seat at the table. And this was in some cases aspirational, or in some cases, you know, CIOs are sort of pushing for that. But that has completely transformed over the last 3 to 5 years. I think companies now see that IT is 100% aligned to their internal capabilities and the strategies of where they're going. Not only making their internal business processes operate more effectively, but providing opportunities for them to transform their products, their services, the kinds of customers that they can reach, the ways, the channels that they have to talk to their customers. And so now I see that IT is not only getting a seat at the table, but the business is really demanding that IT people have a business perspective, a strategic perspective about where they should be going as a company. And so it really is challenging us, and I know I feel it personally, you know, to be so embedded in the business that I feel confident making strategic, you know, challenges to what we should be thinking about, you know, where should we as a business be thinking we're going in 5-10 years, and a strategic point of view about that.
And it sounds like, recalling an earlier part of our conversation, this whole notion of the IT leaders that you're pairing with the major functions across Navistar must be essential in terms of gathering that intelligence for you as to, mm-hmm. you know, where the business is today, each of the leaders' vision for the future, and also, you know, kind of highlighting where there are common needs perhaps across the organization that can be addressed with single idea or innovation, or others as the case may be. Is that a fair conclusion?
IT is one of the few professions or functions in a company that sees across the entire organization. Finance is maybe another one that sees, HR sees, but as IT people, we see across the entire organization. And so, yes, to spot things that, to spot conversations in one part of the organization that really need to transition into another conversation, and to be embedded in the day-to-day conversations so that as we start to try to challenge a future state point of view, we can do it within the context of, you know, knowing where the business is and what might be completely transformational versus just, you know, a continuous improvement kind of idea, and to have the trust of the business that we're coming with these ideas within the context of really being solid business partners and knowing what they're going through.
Well, Julie Ragland, thank you so much for taking time with me today to discuss your vision for the future at Navistar, your tenure to date. It's been a very interesting conversation.
I appreciate it, Peter.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me on Thursday for the 450th episode of Technovation, featuring a special interview with XPRIZE Chief Executive Officer Anousheh Ansari on the Innovation Accelerator's COVID-19 Pandemic Alliance.